This is a presentation of LifePoint Church. Our mission is to make gospel-centered disciples of Jesus Christ. For more information, please visit sharethelife.org.
Father, we do thank you for being a tremendously good, good Father to us. And we all are here today because we have fathers. And some of us have good fathers, some of us don't. Some of us have fathers with us, some of us don't. And so we not recognize that you are a good Father. And you are giving us this day. As we look into your word, specifically Psalm 122, I ask that God, that you would bring to our minds attention what you have for us today. What we can take away from this morning as we gather together to give our time together as a Christian community to be encouraged, exhorted in your word. May you be lifted up above all things. May you be lifted up because your grace is so great. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this congregation. Holy Spirit, have your way with us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bethany, thank you for a tremendous... great job reading God's Word to us. It's your first time doing it. It will not be your last. So, thank you. Good job. You know, as we look at worship, and we're here in a church, this is where we typically sing, and that's a form of worship. That's not the only way we worship. We were created as worshipful beings. We worship whether we recognize it or not, and God desires that we worship Him. Oftentimes, as Zach illuminated last week through Psalm 121, as he preached, that oftentimes we get distracted with idols and we worship those instead. But I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I struggle to worship. And this may give you pause for concern for a pastor struggling to worship, but there are times where I do struggle to worship, and maybe you do as well. And it's not just in this musical form of worship that we just completed. Thank you, Tim and team, for leading us in that. But it's much more than that. Worship is much more than just, than only musical worship. And as we look into Psalm 122, I think we're going to have God's Word give us some help and understanding about how it is that we can understand why we do worship and what encapsulates worship. What does worship really look like? Is there a correct way to worship? You know, there's many different forms of worship. There's many different forms going on right now across the world. There's Africans dancing out in the desert on a dry plain. There's Chinese huddled around God's Word. There's many people across the United States worshiping in different forms of churches. Some are wearing suits. Some are wearing shorts. There's many different ways to worship. Bright lights, low lights. Today, we're going to look at how David and his friends, the Israelites, how they worshiped originally together through Psalm 122. As we look at the very beginning part of this section, there's just the first two verses I want to take a look at. And my first point is that true worship is an expression of heartfelt joy. True worship is an expression of heartfelt joy. And you see David doing this right now about how he talks about, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. He was glad. He was exceedingly glad to go and be able to worship the Lord at the house of the Lord, which was at that time in Jerusalem. God dwelled within Jerusalem where the tabernacle was. That's where he dwelled. And they were so excited to be, as we'll see later on, bringing all the tribes of Israel to this one place of Israel. There's estimates in between 500,000 to 2 million people would come into Jerusalem to celebrate three different festivals throughout the year. Passover, Festival of Weeks, and Festival of Booths. They would come and they would celebrate there in Jerusalem. And this was a time where they were really looking forward to this. It's as if David, one of my friends this week said, it's as if David was looking forward to this as a child would look forward to going to a place that they love to go to. Maybe they would drop off and into New York City and they see all of Times Square and just like, this is where we want to be. For me, it was always going back down to a mountain in the San Juan Mountains in the Weminuche Wilderness, and I would be able to go back there to where my dad and his friends and I, we would have many different elk hunting trips down there. And we don't get to go but every 7 years because it's such a preferred place to go, but it's just stunningly gorgeous. Just gorgeous down there. And you get there, and as you get in there, and as you get into camp, and you sit down, and you finally stop driving for 8 hours, and you get there, and you're just like, we are here. And that's what David is saying here. He is saying in verse 2, our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And how happy they are. How happy they are to be in Jerusalem. Worship, true worship, involves joy. I think of an example of Chinese. I see on the internet through YouTube, there is a viral video going around about Chinese people, men and women, opening up suitcases. There's about 20 of them in a room. And they open up these suitcases, and out comes Bibles. And they hurry to these Bibles like pigeons would to a bunch of crackers or bread in Times Square. And they pick up these Bibles, and the room is full of laughter and joy. And they're so excited. And then the room gets really, really, really quiet. Really, really quiet. Because they're all kissing their Bibles. They've never had a Bible before. But this is the Chinese people having so much joy. And one woman says, this is what we have been waiting for. This is what we have needed. And they're kissing their Bibles. True worship involves tremendous joy. It involves an expression of heartfelt joy. Have you seen joy like this? Have you experienced joy like this? Even though I've struggled with worship at times in my life, too many than I care to count, but there are times where I've had true bubbling up over the brim joy in my life. I shared with my men's life group this past trimester a time where I had overwhelming joy, and they all laughed at me for it. It's another elk hunting story where I was walking on a long, unsuccessful hunt for probably 3 or 4 days, just doing my armed walk through the woods, you know, my duty. People shaking their heads who know the duty. But on this hunt, what I love so much about hunting is that it allows me to pull back from the busyness of life, and I get to be able to experience life in a more pure vein, a more timely vein, where I'm able to really have time to sit and ponder as I watch a hillside, not move. It makes me think of God and how God is immutable and how He doesn't change. And so things like this just envelop my heart. And I start recognizing, I remember this one time where I was just so enraptured by the grace of God in my life and how God has forgiven me for all of my life's choices. I was overwhelmed. And that particular morning, I was hunting this aspen grove, and the forest floor was quiet. It had dewed that morning, and so it was very, very quiet. The leaves were not crackly, soft. And I was able to go through very quietly, but I was just started feeling so happy, so joyful in the Lord. I started dancing like an assassin. So I have my rifle up, and I'm walking, and I get behind a tree, and I... And I'm having so much fun. I'm by myself. There's nobody around, and I'm having so much fun. Me and the Lord are dancing together that I ended up doing a major error. As I'm dancing, all of a sudden, from me to Donnie, jumps up a bull elk. And he takes off, and I'm... I wasn't hunting any longer. I was just praising. But then I got angry. But have you felt this joy where it causes you to do ridiculous things, dare I say? Dancing by yourself with a bunch of trees? And it doesn't have to happen again in musical worship when we're all gathered here together. Does it cause you to do ridiculous things, maybe even with your money? Experiencing the grace and the joy of Jesus to where it just overflows. You cannot contain it as hard as you steady that cup of joy that it just bubbles over. It spills over to the people around you. I believe this is what is happening for David and in many different psalms that David has written. Joy is present. Maybe you don't feel like that in worship. Maybe you don't feel that way on Sunday. It's difficult sometimes to get to worship on Sunday morning here at the church where we will pray, where we will sing, we'll hear God's word. And maybe it's difficult for you to get here because it was difficult at home and people made it difficult for you. I got three steps here that I want to make things help you, that have helped me. I want you to get to bed earlier on Saturday night. I want you to get up earlier on Sunday morning. I want you to get here earlier on Sunday morning. When we start this worship service, not all of you are here. And you're missing out. We just have an hour and a few minutes here together. Get here earlier. It's better when you're here earlier. And lastly, like Wes mentioned, Zach started us off last week by finding this AppTap bookmark. I've updated it. I've refreshed it, too, with some new verses in our psalm for this week. Use this. We're going to use this together at the end of our worship service together. And there's a sample prayer there at the bottom from Timothy Keller that I thought fit well on this card. True worship is an expression of heartfelt joy. Second point, as we travel into verses 3 through 5, true worship is expected. True worship is expected. It's commanded. Remember, Israel was redeemed from years of slavery in Egypt. God redeemed them in powerful, miraculous ways. God redeemed them, and He provided the law to them at the base of Mount Sinai. You will have no other gods but Me. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind, and strength. True worship is expected. We are all owned by our Creator, God. And when I hear those commandments, He gives them as commandments because we forget. He gives them as commandments because He deserves our worship. He deserves our worship. We are His. Everything we have is God's. Everything. All of it. How do we know this? Because He started everything. At our point of conception, a spark happened and life developed. And we have been sustained from that day till today. And He allows us to continue to breathe right now. Our heart to pump. We're not telling our hearts to pump. He is providing all of it. We are owned by God. We should worship Him. But our hearts get in the way. Our hearts do get in the way, and that is the difficulty of worship. It's because it involves our hearts. I want to read to you a quote from Eugene Peterson in his book, Subversive Spirituality. He says, John Calvin saw the human heart as a relentlessly efficient factory for producing idols. John Calvin saw the human heart as a relentlessly efficient factory for producing idols. People want things to work better. They want a life more interesting. They want help through difficult times. They want meaning and significance in their ventures. They want God in a way, but certainly not a jealous God, not the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is so convicting to me. Mostly, they want their own way. They want to stay in control, but have ancillary divine assistance for the hard parts. Our hearts get in the way. They certainly do. And I recognized this past week as I was preparing for this message, and I had other duties, other errands, car maintenance issues that put me into a bad mood during the day. And I needed to run into King Supers to just get two items a box of salad and a gallon of milk. And this is a King Soopers that I pray for many of these people who serve me, these employees. I know many of them by name. And I hurried through the aisles, weaved my way around the busyness of the aisles, got my box of salad, got my jug of milk, and I ran up to the shortest line. You know how you pick the shortest line? It's kind of a contest to see which is, and you try to pick the shortest line, and I was clearly picking up the line with the man who is doing the pin pad. So he's done with his transaction. I'm next. And I jump in line, and the man is having trouble with understanding if he should use, if it's a debit card or a credit card. And so I'm frustrated by my whole day. And now it's showing on my face today to the people who I try to give witness to. And Brock is the checker, and old Brock, and he's being patient with this man who's struggling with the keypad. And it's everything in me that's almost like jumping up there and like, give me your pin. Yeah, oh boy, and this guy's losing it, and it's seen on my face, and like in 9 seconds I can undo years of building testimony with these employees. Brock can clearly see I'm so agitated. I pick my stuff up and I'm looking for another. I almost want him to see it. I come back and he looks at me and he's like, "How are you today?" "Fine." And I get my stuff, and I leave. And this is me being impatient over a box of salad and a gallon of milk. Somebody else planted the lettuce and made it grow and got a cow and fed it and put the milk in a jug for me. I'm impatient. Our hearts are revealed when we are worshiping and when we are not worshiping, are they not? You know, I think one of the gravest sins that we can create is maybe not murder, maybe not adultery or theft. Well, these are all tremendous sins, but I think one that trumps them all is not worshiping. And it's not worshiping that leads to those prior sins. Let's move to three. Third point of, I've got 4 points this morning. True worship reveals a concern for kingdom work. True worship reveals a concern for kingdom work. You see this exhibited in verse 6, a famous passage that many people enjoy praying for the peace of Israel, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. He says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you." I want to focus on 6 and 7 right now on those words, peace and secure. You know, Jerusalem is called the city of peace because the last part of it is shalom, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And shalom means peace, a state of health, friendliness, or success, soundness, a completeness of health. As David is looking over this city, he is just overwhelmed by the beauty of the city and what it provides. And you think about a festival. Oh my goodness, all these people, 500,000, maybe 2 million people ushering into this city. What a great celebration this is going to be. All the tribes coming together to worship the one and true God where he dwells. And he prays for peace for Jerusalem. He prays for security for Jerusalem. Secure, inshallah, to have rest. Be at ease, to be or become secure, or even be quiet. And this makes me think, as David is looking at this city, praying these prayers for peace, for security, I got to look at it in his feet, in his sandals. He's writing at that time. He's not writing as we see Jerusalem today. He's writing at that time as, man, I love this place. I want peace to be here. I pray for peace for this place. And for security, not that there's armed guards up at the towers, not that at all, But actually, the security he's talking about is actually maybe there's lemonade up there in the towers. Everyone is relaxing. It's refreshing. It's at ease. It's quiet. There's no threat. This is what David is praying for Jerusalem. And it makes me think, as we pray for Jerusalem, as we pray for Israel today, might we also be praying for Chicago, Leipzig, Germany? I get the privilege of going to Germany with the team that's going this year, July 11th through the 29th, and get to join Jim and Lena Miller, our missionaries there. I've been able to be with Wes Moore visiting Jim and Lena Miller when they had their ministry in Chicago. And man, that really opened our eyes to the need of Jesus in our right in the middle of our country. So might we pray for Chicago, Leipzig, Nepal, Washington, D.C., many other cities. But may we pray for Jerusalem, because it develops in the heart of a worshiper a concern for kingdom work. A concern for kingdom work. True worship reveals that concern. And this is revealed in David's life. It makes me think, do we have the same concern here in this room? Do we have that concern where we are praying for the success, the victories in life? You know, Wes made mention that tomorrow morning starts one of our major outreaches of the year from this church, Vacation Bible School. An opportunity to influence children and their parents who are dropping them off. I ask you to pray for the success of that outreach this coming week. Not to mention the one that follows in a few weeks, July 15th. As we join with many other churches of the city with Serve 6.8 Serve Day. Do you care for the church? Do you care for your pastors? Not to seem self-elevating or serving at any point, but do you care for the pastors, your leaders, your life group teachers, leaders, elders, trustees of the church, one another? I want to share about opportunities with that as I close later on in this sermon about how we care for one another, how we care for the church. Because the church is not these light bulbs and drywall and stage. The church is you and me. That's what's changed since Psalm 122 was written, is God dwelled there in Jerusalem. Today, through faith in Jesus, God dwells in the believers in Jesus Christ. And when we gather together, two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst, Jesus says. True worship reveals a concern for kingdom work. Visiting with another man this week, having lunch, and he says, "You guys should preach more on finances. I know you're afraid of always being preaching about money, and people are going to say you're always preaching about money, but you should preach more on finances." And it made me think about how true worship reveals a concern for kingdom work. And in your bulletins, you'll see, you know, we're $50,000+ behind where we were last year. True worship, it has a heavenly concern for kingdom work. A heavenly concern. And it's not that you're giving to the church, you're giving to God. Get back to that in a moment. Fourth, true worship is found in community. True worship is found in community. And you see this in the last two verses of 122. "For my brothers and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good." True worship is found in community, and here we are in community together. And we're in community together in many different forms within this church, whether it's a Bible class or a life group, a mom's life group, youth ministry, youth group, children's ministries. We have different points of community within this church. I want you to know that I can't help but when I am truly worshiping God, I care about you. That just happens. I care about you. That's what happens with David. Is when he's worshiping God, he cares about his other sojourners, other brothers and journeyers who have come with him in this ascent upon Jerusalem. When I worship God, I will care about you. It makes me concerned about people that I've seen over the years in my ministry of just seeing how people in America has sadly become very consumeristic in our approach towards church. Some people may go to church, this particular church, for the strong biblical teaching. I go there for strong biblical teaching. Or even I go online to this church for strong biblical teaching. The kind that you can hang a fang on. You know, you can choke on the bone. Well, we go to this church because of the fine youth ministry. They didn't have a youth ministry at our last church. It just certainly wasn't worth staying for. And so now we're here for the youth ministry. And we don't need to be fed, but we're concerned about our kids. We go to this church for a children's ministry. Or we go to this church for the music ministry, but we serve at this church for the college ministry, and we do a jail outreach with this church because we... Do you see the cafeteria effect that's happening? And that, to me, it breaks my heart because it's like, why won't you worship with us? Why won't you serve with us? Why won't you pray with us? Let's come together. Let's come together underneath Jesus' name and have true community instead of being the consumeristic type. And pray for us that we would preach meaty sermons. Pray for us that we would offer valiant youth ministry. Pray for us that we would do tremendous outreaches to the jail and join us. It makes me think of also a group of people. There's a group called the Nuns. Have you heard of the Nuns? N-O-N-E-S, the Nuns. When it comes to a survey, what religious affiliation do you identify with? And now they have a new category, none. And that category is rising. To add to the category of the Nuns, there's a new category within the evangelical church that we call the Duns. The D-O-N-E-S. The Duns. I'm done with church. Not done with God, necessarily, but I'm done with church. It's not that God has let me down, it's that people have let me down. I'm tired of plopping, praying, and paying. I'm done. I have friends like this. I have friends who I've invited back to church time and time again. And they may sputter a start, but they finish. They're done. And it breaks my heart because they're missing out on so much vitality of the body of Christ. So much diversity in the body of Christ. They may get together with the 6 or 8 other people that look like them, talk like them, eat like them, have homes like them. But you know what? Those people miss out on what my wife and I got to experience just this Friday night with dinner with friends. New ministry I'm really excited about around here. Dinner with friends. I'm associating, having dinner with people that I might not necessarily choose to spend a Friday night to be with. But because I've done so, I'm so glad. We've done it twice, one in our home, once in another home. The first time we met for 3 hours and 15 minutes. We topped it with 3 hours and 45 minutes just this Friday. We just can't stop enjoying one another. People are bringing musical instruments and playing hymns. People are bringing up difficult questions, ethical questions. And we're wrestling with it together, stumbling along, figuring it out together in love. And we're enjoying just getting to know one another at a superficial layer as well. My friends who are done with the church are missing out on the beauty, the vitality, and the diversity of church. And Scripture tells us in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Scripture encourages us to continue meeting together as Christians, to not give up, to keep pressing forward, to keep sharing the gospel, to keep encouraging one another in the gospel. So I want to ask you, friends, have I described your heart this morning? Have I described your heart? I'm one of your pastors. I want to make certain that when you worship, as you live your life, as you know your belief system is down here foundationally, it's going to inform your values. That's going to inform your behavior up at the top that everyone gets to see. Are you able to worship in truth, in spirit? Submit yourself to Holy Spirit to know that you are fully alive in Him. What this comes, what I get from this study is I believe that true worship exists because of the grace of God. When I asked you earlier about have you ever struggled with worship, as I have struggled with worship, it's that those times I struggle with worship because I struggle with the grace of God. I put myself on the throne of my life and I am chief. I'm the one making the decisions. I'm the one hurrying through King Supers. I'm the one making those. True worship exists because of the grace of God. True worship of God exists because of the grace of God. That's what happened for David and his colleagues as they were able to stand there in Jerusalem and be able to worship God with full heart. That's what establishes us to stand alone in a forest and worship God with a full heart, or to stand here this morning and worship together with a full heart. It makes me think, as I was walking to the gym this past week, and I saw the stand of, I don't know if it's a stand, a flock of daisies. Is it a flock of daisies? They're long stem. You know, they're long stem. They're growing right there out of the ground. They're white with a yellow center. They're beautiful. And they've got this long, slender stem that goes to the ground. And they've got this heavy petal flower up on top. And I just think I think that's just phenomenal. Because it makes me think of how it is giving everything it has, all the energy it's creating in life, using the photosynthesis science stuff, and it's growing strong as it can be. It's slender. It doesn't make sense that it could be holding that much petal weight up on top, but it is. By all that God has made it to be, because God designed that flower, He's designed you and me to grow in maturity and to point towards Him, growing, just giving up. Not giving up as we think of give up, but it is giving all it can up. And as I think about how we treat our finances and our time and our relationships and our church experience, that we need to just keep giving up. And as we give up to God, it does a little bend for everything else to see. The flower bends just a little bit so that it's the rest of the world gets to see and experience the beauty of what God has done. And it makes me think, like, when we worship, that we give everything we are to God because He has given everything in His Son, Jesus Christ, on that cross. That in that grace of God, we can't help but to cry out, I am redeemed! I am redeemed! I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. I am redeemed. And I can't stop saying it. This is the King. This is the King of all kings that left His throne to die for me. I am redeemed. Would you bow your heads in prayer with me? I want to guide us through a prayer. And I'm going to allow some time for silence, because as we're moving forward, finding our voice and hearing His, I want to give time for us to hear His. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know we are terrible worshipers, but You are a tremendous God. Where we fail, You succeed with soaring victory. We bring ourselves, Your creation, to You now, and we say, oh, how we have failed You. How we have utterly failed You. Let's remain in silence and hear the voice of the Lord. pray you will help us to understand the great act of forgiveness that you have given to each of us through the offering of your Son, Jesus. Your Son, Jesus, on that cross. So that we can worship you wherever and whenever we want. Let's hear the voice of the Lord together. We trust in your scriptures that give us guidance and instruction in this life. Give us a desire to know you better through your precious word. May it be a delight to my friends in this room when they read it. Holy Spirit, speak to them as they read, as they study, as they memorize, and hide this word in their hearts. Speak to us now, Lord. Lord, may we act in obedience to you. We give you thanks and praise our perfect, holy, and good Father. For you have provided peace between us and you through your perfect Son, Jesus, and his death on that ugly cross, so that our sins would be forgiven forever, forever, forever. Oh Lord, how we love you. We worship you in this time through your word, through prayer, through song. Inform our behavior, Lord. May it rise from our beliefs and our values to be seen as a worshiping church that worships the God of all grace. I pray this in your name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of LifePoint Church. It is our greatest desire that every person would trust Jesus Christ as the leader of their lives and the forgiver of their sins. If you would like to make this decision today or find out more, please visit sharethelife.org.